Maybe I'll do a few more testimonies. Well, look what God's done. Amen. Look what God's done. Somewhere in all of our past, there's a Lodabar. And I'm going to get way ahead of myself. That song goes right along with the message that God's put on my heart. But I'm just thankful God's a miracle worker. Amen. Thankful God works miracles. Thank you so much for singing that. Lee, I could get you to come and sing it again just on your dad's behalf, right? I told Pastor David during Shaking Hands, I said, you want me to just get her to sing it again for you? I want you to do something. You're in 2 Kings 4, and put a Bible marker or maybe put your finger there. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4 for just a moment. I think I know where some of your minds are. I'm maybe third, fourth, fifth string quarterback up here tonight, so I know when I always turn on a football game and it's like that quarterback's playing, I'm not as excited. But I do appreciate the opportunity to preach God's Word. I want to share a verse of Scripture that God put on my heart several weeks ago. I just haven't had the opportunity to share this, and it has to do with Pastor David, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the Sunday night preaching. And the series in the Sermon on the Mount was tremendous. I gave him a little bit of a hard time last week, and so I'm going to try to make up for that a little bit tonight. But I thought of this, and I'm not saying this just for any other reason other than it's true. And Paul said something about Timothy that God's made kind of evident to me in the past several months in Pastor David's life, and I just want to share it. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul told Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them." And notice, "that thy profiting may appear to all." And I just want to say that it's just been evident to me, and I think to probably all of us, God's hand on Pastor David's life and his profiting as he studied and prepared and gave attendance to Scripture and reading and exhortation and doctrine. It's hard work. And your profiting, Pastor David, has been evident, and it's appeared to all. And I thank God for you, brother. Amen. I thank God for you. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And we just owe a great debt to good, faithful Bible preachers and teachers, don't we? Thank God for that. Okay, back to 2 Kings chapter number 4. Let's get into the message tonight. Now, if I were to mention the term first world problems, maybe some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you don't. I asked my family to give me some examples of a first world problem on the way to church tonight, and my wife had a good one. She said, "It's when you pull up to McDonald's and the ice cream machine's broken." That's a first world problem, right? They don't experience. Well, you know what? They had a McDonald's when we went to China. That might be third world problems too. I don't know. There's a McDonald's. Maybe their ice cream machines. Do they have McDonald's in Peru, Brother James? Recently? Find out for us if their ice cream machines are always broken, right? Maybe we can learn a few things from them. But first world problems are things like complaining that you don't have enough money to go get your specialty coffee, right? Or your iPhone charger is not long enough. Or the games on your tablet are getting boring, right? Complaining about things that people that don't live in a first world would have no idea what you're complaining about, right? That's first world problems. And you know what? We've probably all been guilty at one point or another complaining about first world problems, right? You know what? Sometimes we have problems that are more serious. And I want to look at this story tonight. Man, this story is just an occasion of just extreme shifts in circumstances. And you know what, man? Sometimes life's like that, isn't it? I mean, one phone call can change a lot. And sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes it's first world problems and things that are just more annoying than difficult. But sometimes truly life can be difficult. And it can be connected to a variety of things, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's something mental, something emotional, something in your family. And the list just goes on and on. And sometimes life can be just very hard. And we see that. That's kind of what opens up this text in chapter number 4, verse number 1. Notice, if you will, again, now they're cried. I mean, right immediately, we're introduced to a woman that's heartbroken. She's crying. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And so here's a widow lady, and life's no doubt difficult for her. Obviously, for her, life hasn't always been this way. I would imagine there was probably a time when it was husband, wife, and children all together. And maybe things were going great, but the Bible doesn't tell us why or what happened. I have a theory that this is just Brandonology. I think maybe he was one of those sons of the prophets that made fun of Elisha for being bald, and the bear came out and got him, right? Maybe that's what happened to him. I don't know. I'm just kidding, okay? That was just a not well-timed joke, okay? But this woman, she's crying, she's heartbroken, and she says, "My husband is dead." But that's not it for her. You know what? Sometimes things, they're not only bad, they go from bad to worse. I can remember one of my first, I guess, real jobs when Jennifer and I were married. I worked at a place called Park Place Corporation, and we manufactured mattresses and box springs and foundations. And man, I just thought, this is the worst job in the world, right? I mean, yeah, you got to understand, I was a very young Christian, right? I was still learning about this thing of work is good, Pastor, and work's good for me. But, I mean, at the time, I just thought, I got the worst job, okay? The pay's not good. The hours are long. It's hard. It's just, this is just a terrible job. And so I set out. I said, I'm going to get a better job. I'm done with this. I remember calling my pastor, my father-in-law, on a few occasions and being like, "What? Like, can I just walk out? Can I just leave?" And he's like, whoa, you know, you got to take care of my daughter. Don't do that. I don't advise that unless you have something else lined up. And so, you know what I did? I lined up another job. And me and another guy that I worked with, we worked in the same department, and we both lined up jobs together. And we were like, man, we're going to get them, right? We're going to line up better jobs. And so we both did. We both quit on the same day, and we thought, this place is going to crumble. It's not going to make it without us, because it's still there. They're probably doing really well now. But I got another job, and guess what? It was worse. I mean, I'm talking about much worse. And so, you know what? Sometimes you jump out of the frying pan into the fire, don't you? And sometimes life's like that. Sometimes it's not only bad, sometimes things get worse. And sometimes the sickness turns into a disease, right? And sometimes you think, man, it can't get any worse than this. And it does. And that's kind of what's happening in this story. The woman's husband's dead. But then if you keep reading, notice what she says, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And notice, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And so not only is this woman dealing with grief and the loss of a husband, but apparently there was some debt left behind or that she's not able to pay off. And the creditor comes knocking on the door and asks for the money, and she doesn't have it. And he says, well, in exchange for the money, I'm going to have to take your two sons to become slaves to help work off this debt. And so, man, she's went from bad to worse. And it seems obvious that this woman's pretty overwhelmed. Did you notice her language? Notice what she says in the middle of verse number 1. Not only does she say, thy servant, my husband, is dead, but catch this, and thou knowest. You see that? Elisha, you know, you knew, my husband, that thy servant did fear the Lord. And so you can sense a little bit of maybe frustration and confusion, maybe misunderstanding with this lady. My husband's dead. I don't understand why this is happening. The creditors come. I don't have an answer. I don't have means. And he's going to take away my boys. And Elisha, you know my husband was a good man. We're trying to do the right thing here. Why is all this happening? Right? And so sometimes not only is life difficult, but sometimes it can just be downright overwhelming, can it? And sometimes life has a way of throwing things at us that we look around and we say, you know what? I can't handle this. Now, I like what she did. I like that she went to the man of God, right? And so that's a good lesson for all of us. When life's difficult, don't run away from God. Get close to him. She comes crying to Elisha. I like that about her. But sometimes things get overwhelming, and you know, the family trouble, it goes from an argument to full-on a family split. What started out as something bad, maybe a little tense, gets worse, and then it becomes kind of overwhelming. And man, that happens at times, doesn't it? It happens sometimes when maybe you, at first, you heard some gossip going on, right? You heard maybe that somebody was talking about you, and you thought, you know what, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That probably isn't happening. But then you find out, you know what, well, actually they were. And it can be hurtful, right? And so sometimes life has a way of doing things like that too. She says, my husband's dead, the creditors come, and you know that my husband feared God. You know that we're trying to do the right thing. And so this text, man, it's just about things can change in a hurry. Now, I don't know the time period here, but I know, you know, things weren't always like this for this lady. But one day, man, things changed suddenly, didn't they? Now, man, I'm glad the story doesn't end like that. That's just the first verse. But it's real, isn't it? That things like that can change just really quick. Your mind probably goes back to a phone call or something you've received that just, I mean, it just changed everything for you. And things can change that quick for the worse. But I'm thankful that the opposite's also true, right? So just like things can go from bad to worse really quick, things can go from bad to good pretty quick too. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, aren't you thankful you can go from Lodabar to Calvary? Aren't you thankful that God is able to flip the script? And several of us could testify to that tonight. Matter of fact, the reason why every single one of us is sitting here tonight is because God, somewhere down the line in your family history, He flipped the script. He changed the story. And you might be a first-generation Christian, and maybe you remember when that happened. You might be a second generation, a third generation, but if you're here tonight, it's because God intervened in your family somewhere. He changed the history. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? And sometimes I think that we when we grow up in church, sometimes our young people, they lose sight and they think, well, you know what? It's just always been this way. And the truth is it hasn't. Whether it was dad or grandpa or great-grandpa, and somebody wasn't serving God. And you ought to be thankful that God somewhere in history intervened and saved somebody, and you're sitting in a Bible preaching church on your way to heaven with hope and joy and peace because God is able to take a bad situation and turn it around and make it good. Amen. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Now, I can testify a little bit. I want to testify just, I don't want to give my entire testimony, but I remember Lodabar for me was probably more, and this doesn't fit the song or the typology perfectly, but my Lodabar kind of happened after I got saved, okay? Now, my family raised me in church, and I got saved as a 12-year-old, and you know the story. I testify all the time. I got saved as a 12-year-old boy in Pumpkintown, South Carolina, and I'm thankful for that. And I was raised, and I heard Bible preaching, and man, it just laid a good, solid foundation in my heart and my life. But just to be honest, not long after I got saved, not long at all after I got saved, my family was broken, and my parents split up, and we got out of church. And can I just tell you, man, it was difficult. Some of you know what I'm talking. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm not bitter. I'm just trying to share my heart with you tonight. Things were difficult. I can remember that the reason it was so difficult for me was because I had a lot of good memories. It had been really good for us. I can remember mom and dad serving God together. I can remember my waking up and catching my mom doing her devotions and spending time in prayer. And now all of a sudden I turn around and my family's torn apart. We're out of church. And I can remember going to school and you know what? I didn't care. I just thought, man, this is the worst thing. I never thought this would happen to me. You know, I never thought I would be in this situation. And so when you go through something like that as a young person, it kind of affects you. And I can remember just going to school. All I wanted was to have a happy family, right? And so I'd just go and lay my head down. I didn't care about math, English, Spanish, all the classes. Look, I just wanted God to fix my family, right? And so I can remember. First chance I got to get away from home, I took it. And I went 2 hours away to a college just trying to get away from the mess. You know where I was? That was Lodabar for me. Now, I was saved, but I didn't really get a chance to grow much in the Lord. And I didn't realize what Pastor was preaching this morning, that the Lord's my shepherd and he's all that I need. I didn't understand all that. But man, I'm going to tell you, I was headed down a wrong road really fast. And that was my Lodabar. But thank God my story doesn't end right there. Amen. Thank God that one day, man, I had family that prayed for me. I had a cousin who's a pastor now. He called me. He said, while you're on Christmas break, you ought to try this church. It's about 10 minutes from where I lived. I came home Christmas break. He said, you ought to try this church. Brother David Childs is preaching there. And so I said, you know what? Sure, I'll go try it. And man, I'm going to tell you what. Not only was there a beautiful girl there. That helped. Amen. But listen, that man stood and preached with passion. I mean, it wasn't a big church. There was maybe 30 or 40 people there. But man, by the way he was preaching, you would have thought he was preaching to 1,000. And he preached, I mean, with fire, with love, with compassion. And it was like cold water to a thirsty soul for me. And it just hit me. Man, this is it. This is what I've been missing. It's not necessarily the family, it's God, it's Jesus. That's what I need. And God flipped the script for me. God changed my life. I mean, completely turned my life around. Got right with God, married my wife. We've served God. I hadn't been perfect since then, but God worked a miracle in my family and in my life. And man, I'm thankful for that. And several of you could testify of something very similar. Now notice the change. You see it mentioned here in just a couple of ways. Now, she goes to Elisha and she tells him the situation, and Elisha says, well, what is it that I can do for you? He's like, what is it that you have? She says, I don't have anything. All I've got is a pot of oil. And see, she didn't see the pot of oil like we see it as, well, God's going to use that. She's seen it probably as a mockery. Like, I got nothing. That's not going to help save my, that's not going to bring my husband back. That pot of oil, that's not going to save my two boys. And so she has to look at that pot of oil every single day, and it's a reminder to her of what she don't have. And she says, all I've got is a pot of oil. I mean, Elisha doesn't hesitate. He doesn't flinch. He says, okay, here's what we're going to do. He says, I want you to go to all your neighbors, and I want you to borrow as many empty vessels as you can find. Not a few. You go get as many empty vessels as you can, and then he tells her, bring them inside the house. And he says, I want you to take that pot of oil, and you just start filling up those empty vessels. And the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail, but some time must have passed because verse number 6 starts out, and it came to pass. So there's a lot of vessels here, and there's a lot going on. I mean, there's a miracle of God happening inside of this lady's house. She goes inside, closes the doors. It's just her and her son, and they're able to see God intervene in their family, right? And God's proven himself to them, and God's working a miracle. And then she gets caught up, and she says, well, bring me another one. And they're like, Mom, there's not any more. That's it. And so, man, here they are now, and they've got just, I mean, oil to last till who knows when, right? I mean, God has worked a miracle in her life. And then she goes back, and she tells Elisha, and he tells her to go and sell and live off the rest. So we see that, man, what a change in events. What a wonderful story, right? How that God can, not only does things sometimes go from bad to worse, sometimes God takes a really bad situation and he makes it wonderful. But can I tell you tonight, as wonderful as this story is and as wonderful as that truth is of how things can change and go from bad to good, that's not my message. That's not what really grips me. When I read this story, you know what I like? I want you to listen to me. It's not the fact that things are changing. You know, that's life, isn't it? I mean, sometimes things get better, sometimes they get worse. Life happens and things change. Circumstances are always changing. So that's not really what's impressive to me. What's impressive to me is not what's changing in this story. What's impressive to me is what stays the same. Okay? And I want to show you what stays the same. Okay? Did you notice what this woman did when she was hurting? What did she do in verse number 1? She said, I'm going to go talk to Elisha. And we understand that. Things get difficult. Man, you run to God. You run to the man of God. You run to the house of God. You go to God and you get help. And so she goes to Elisha when she's hurting. But guess what she does when she's not hurting and when she's happy? Look, if you will. Verse number 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, there's not a vessel more in the old state. You know what? It would have been really easy for this lady to just been like, wow, man, this was great, wasn't it? And that could have been the end. But you know what she did? She said, let's go see the man of God. Verse number 7. Then she came and told the man of God. Elisha never commanded that. When he gave her all the instructions, he never said. He just told her, go borrow the vessels, take them inside, fill them all up. That's the only instruction he gave her. She had no obligation whatsoever to go back to God's man after the miracle. You know what I like? Is this woman stayed the same. She realized that when she's hurting, she needed God. And she realized that when she was happy, she needed God. And so when all she had was one pot of oil and things were difficult and her heart was broken, guess where you found her? Near the man of God. And when God worked a miracle and she had more than she needed and things were abundant, guess where you found her? Talking to God's man. You see, that's what's impressive to me. Don't let what's changing around you change what's in you. Okay? Things are going to change all around you all the time. Okay? But don't let that change what's on the inside. You know what? It's easier for me when things are difficult to run to God. It's difficult for me to go to God when things are really good. You know, I almost went to it earlier. Pastor mentioned this morning in the message of Philippians chapter 4. You know what Paul said? He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, sometimes it's harder to figure out how to be content when things are going good than it is when you've lost everything. Man, when you lose things and all you've got is Jesus, that's all you've got. But when you've gotten more than Jesus, sometimes isn't it a tendency to make idols out of the other things and count on them to bring you the fulfillment and the satisfaction? So this miracle happens for this lady. And man, I love all the sudden shifts and I love the happiness and I love how God worked the miracle. But what I love the most is even after God did the miracle, she said, you know what? I still need a word from God. I still need to see what God's man's going to say. And so I just want to challenge you. I want to warn you. It's not about what's changing. It's about what stays the same. Okay? And there's three things I want to give you really quick. Okay? This is just three words that I think needs to stay the same no matter what's changing. Okay? Number one is your worship. Your worship. Now, when things are changing, make sure your worship stays the same. Now, admittedly, my worship looks different when things are bad and when they're good. Sometimes there's more fervency. Sometimes there's more time spent. But I can't abandon it. When things are difficult, man, don't miss out on your quiet time. And more importantly, maybe even more of a caution, if things are going really good for you right now, you know what the tendency is? I don't need to spend time with God. And things are great. We got all to spare. Things are great. Can I tell you, that's when David got in trouble. And things were good, right? We got first world problems. No need to go to God. Be careful. This lady realized, man, I need to go see Elisha when my heart's broken. I need to go see Elisha when I'm happy. And so don't lose out on your worship. Number two, your membership. Don't forsake the house of God. When things are difficult, when things are good, and don't think, you know what, I'll be all right. Just skip a service here and there. I don't need it. You know, can I be honest with you? The message the pastor preached this morning, I can't tell you how many messages I've heard on the Lord is my shepherd. I can't tell you how many messages I've heard on the importance of being content and Jesus is enough. But can I just tell you, Pastor, God used that message to help me this morning. No matter how many times I've heard it, you know what? God helped me this morning. And the moment that you decide, you know what? I'm fine. I'm doing all right. I don't need it. You're going to miss out. Just going to miss out. So don't neglect your worship. Don't neglect your membership. And then number three, don't neglect your fellowship. Okay? Don't isolate yourself. Man, God's put some good people around you, and God's put some good people in your life. There's some men here that I feel comfortable I could share almost anything with in my life, and they would be there to encourage, to rebuke, to exhort, to help me. And there's people that God's put in the pathway of your life. Don't neglect them. If things are difficult, there's people here that you can talk to. If things are great, there's people here that you can talk to. Don't get too big for your britches, right? Don't let it go to your head. Don't be swollen up with pride and say, well, I don't need the church. I don't need fellowship, man. Things are great. No, you need it. Don't let what's changing around you change what's in you. One preacher put it like this. I believe it was maybe a commentator that I read one time. He said, you know what? You can either be like a thermometer or a thermostat. Right? The thermometer, man, it changes with the temperature outside. Right, temperature's hot, it goes up. Temperature's cold, it goes down. That's the way we are a lot of times. A lot of Christians are. Things are good, they're up. Things are bad, they're down. He's like, be the thermostat. And that's what it means to be content. God's going to set the temperature in my heart, no matter how it is on the outside. Okay? And so, I don't know about you, it's an encouraging story to me. Things are changing all the time. But don't let what's changing around you change what's in you. Okay? Stand to your feet, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God that you specialize in miracles. And Lord, things are changing all the time. Sometimes they go from good to bad. Sometimes they go from bad to good. But Lord, we're thankful that you're all that we need. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to find our satisfaction, find some consistency in who we are in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the example of this lady in 2 Kings 4. And I pray that you would use your word to help us tonight. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for a good Bible message. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart, the pianist has begun to play. And if you just need to come and bow, you go ahead and do that right now. Just come to the altar.